Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Eveready Industries India Q3 and 9 months FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant clients will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nishid Solanki from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Eveready Industries India's Q3 FY24 earnings conference call. Today, we are joined by senior members of the management team, including Mr. Suvamai Saha, Managing Director, and Mr. Vivek Agarwal, Chief Financial Officer. Before we begin the call, let me first share our standard disclaimer. Some of the statements that may be made on today's conference call could be forward-looking in nature, and the actual results could vary from these forward-looking statements. A detailed statement in this regard is available in the press release, which has been circulated to you and also available on the stock exchange website. I would now like to invite Mr. Saha to share his perspectives with you. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Nishid. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining our earnings call today. I am pleased to share with you our focus areas that have been critical to our journey. Through these opening remarks, I will also seek to bring up some pointers on our model and supplement that with the progress that we are making thereon. First and foremost, our commitment to enhancing our brand visibility and engaging with consumers remains unwavering. Secondly, we continue to strengthen our distribution channels to reach markets and customers effectively. Last but not the least, our investment in human resources continues to be a key item of focus as we prioritize talent development along with our organizational growth plans. These key pillars will continue to drive progress in the coming quarters. Brand Eveready continues to evoke high familiarity and recall in the categories where it is present. Our businesses comprising of batteries, flashlights, and lighting have benefited from this salience. As a leading consumption products brand, we are consistently working around to maintain visibility through advertising and promotions. This helps us lead the Tricell battery and flashlights categories. While we are a challenger brand in the lighting category, we believe we have a vast canvas of growth ahead of us. We completed our revamped route-to-market exercise in the last quarter of FY23, and since then, we have created a lean and modern architecture that is more aligned to today's requirements and our growth aspirations. The larger towns saw a consolidation of distributors, thereby giving the continuing ones better opportunities to grow meaningfully. On the rural side and in smaller towns, we created a super sub-model with a super acting as a distributor across a wider net of smaller dealers. This resulted in reducing our distributor strength from a 4,000+ to just over 1,000. As highlighted in our previous earnings calls, there were challenges emanating from this improvement initiative, both from a design perspective as well as execution. We have tried during much of the current year to perfect the process. This has resulted in short-term pains from a growth perspective, but we believe we have overcome most of the issues. We expect the RTM exercise to fully stabilize in the next 1 or 2 quarters and start yielding results. Our journey is being championed by our team members, many of whom have joined us at the leadership levels in the recent past to augment our talent bank. The team believes that the foundation of excellence lies in well-executed processes. Our teams are empowered. They not only run processes effectively, but also bring creativity and innovation to the table. It is the synergy of empowered minds and robust processes that will propel us to sustainability. Another aspect of our process is that we are focusing to become self-reliant with our in-house manufacturing, whereby we become truly a Made in India company. More than 95% of our batteries and more than 70% of our flashlights are manufactured in-house. This provides us with complete control on costs and product offering, thereby an ability to serve our consumers as per their requirements. Now I shall turn your attention to the respective segments. First, batteries. Eveready has long enjoyed name ownership of this category. While we have stood strong in the large carbon sink category, we have only recently begun to create a positive impact in the emerging alkaline space. Our revamped alkaline range of Eveready Ultima has met with healthy success, and we expect this trend to gain further momentum and for this category to contribute significantly to the growth of the business. We are also ramping up our communication in this space. Overall, the business supports an extensive range of batteries positioned to benefit from premiumization as well as volume growth from enhanced household consumption as they add new devices. The favorable input cost environment is giving us headspace to maintain the tempo of marketing and promotions. In the past, the dry cell battery industry has found it hard to mount volume growth due to subpar penetration of relevant devices in our homes. Our latest campaigns highlight use of devices like toys as an integral part of learning and living. Moving along, flashlights has seen a faster than anticipated degrowth in the battery operated segment. However, we are confident that our gains in the rechargeable segment will more than compensate for this loss and provide substantial growth for the overall category. Our design and development team has continued to introduce new SKUs with feature functionality as per market feedback in the rechargeable category. This space is occupied by unorganized players and imports from China. The Eveready range stands for quality at the foremost, and we believe in creating products that provide value through features and pricing both. The quarter and the current financial year saw weak consumer demand, particularly in the rural part of the market, across most FMCG products. Consequently, this had impact on both battery and flashlight optics, both having ceded ground over last year, in batteries by 2.4% and in flashlights by 3.6% for the year to date. It is expected that the forthcoming quarters will see a de-escalation of food price inflation and return to growth for consumer products. However, we managed to retain our market share of batteries at 53.2% as per Nielsen report. I am pleased to report that we have now a full range of products in the lighting category as per the needs of the market. The business boasts a dual distribution setup via the general trade and the electrical channel. This is a vast market, and although there are entrenched players, we are confident of making a mark. Our emphasis is now to shift our business salience from basic products to the premium ones. Our emergency lamp, being part of our premium range, is already one of the leaders in this market category. As already widely reported, the entire lighting market underwent value erosion on account of players passing on cost benefits arising out of manufacturing efficiencies. While the entire market was in the negative territory, we managed a growth of 10.5% for the quarter and 9.2% for the year to date. Let me now share some insights on our financial performance during the third quarter. Our top line performance captures the impact of slower rural consumption in batteries and flashlights, as well as ongoing value erosion in lighting. This was further impacted due to disruptions faced on account of the new RTM. However, our portfolio of alkaline batteries, rechargeable flashlights and lighting products reported strong volume trajectory, creating the base for sustained gains in the coming days. Despite the moderated top line, our EBITDA performance for the quarter stood strong at 24.6 crores with a margin of 8.1%, and the year-to-date number being at 114.8 crores with margin of 11.1%. Performance for both the quarter and the year so far being better than that of the last year. The performance was supported by favorable cost trend in key raw materials, especially in batteries, in addition to stable exchange rates during the quarter. In anticipation of higher A&P spends to accelerate our position in the industry, we undertook several cost initiatives to sustain our margin trajectory. As for the outlook, we seem to be on the anvil of getting back our growth momentum, with hopefully the market reviving and the challenges of the new RTM being overcome. We believe we have all the elements in place to be able to deliver positive results in the times to come. With that, I conclude my initial remarks here and will now request the moderator to open the forum for question and answer.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Mithun Aswath from Kiva Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. Yeah, can you hear me, sir?
Yes, yes, very well.
Now, just wanted to understand, sir, in terms of the margins for the current quarter, obviously, year on year, they have been better, but quarter on quarter, we see, you know, some deceleration in terms of the EBITDA performance. Is that mainly because of heightened marketing spend? If you could just maybe throw some color in terms of what we are looking at in that. And also within segments, how is the volume growth in each of the segments this quarter?
Thank you, Mithun. See, as far as the margin is concerned, it was impacted by a mix of both. You know, the two points that you mentioned, one is as a percentage we had higher A&P spend, and also obviously the muted top line, which I have sort of, you know, drawn reference to in my remarks earlier. These two had an impact on the quarter's margin, which stands at 8.1%. However, if you look at the year for the 9 months, the margin stands at 11.1%. And as we have been guiding, we stay firm on our overall guidance that we will continue at double-digit EBITDA margins.
Right. And each of the segments' growth this quarter, on year-on-year to basis, was there a, you know, despite the pressures, was there volume growth in Q3 or in some of the categories volume growth was negative?
No. As I mentioned, there was, you know, a degrowth in both batteries and flashlights, which was at year-to-date, it stands at 2.4% and 3.6% respectively. But the lighting category, you know, though overall market was in the negative, we grew by 10.5% during the quarter and 9.5% for the year-to-date.
Got it. And just lastly, wanted to understand, are you, since now you've got these three categories, there was talk about you also trying to, you know, look at some adjacencies to the existing businesses. So just wanted to understand any thoughts there. You know, you've got into lighting. Is there anything else that one is looking at for the forthcoming fiscal?
So, you know, as we have articulated earlier also, for the next 12 to 18 months, our hands are full to be able to exploit these existing three categories. Thereafter, the company would certainly look at, you know, a fourth or a fifth category, but that is, you know, beyond at least 1 year, not immediately.
Fine, sir. Thank you, and I'll join back the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhruv Jain from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So I had a question on the, you know, overall growth side, right? So last two quarters, obviously, our numbers from a revenue growth perspective have not been very good. So just wanted a sense that, you know, and there have been RTM exercises that you've been speaking about. So just wanted a sense that do you think that as an entity, Eveready will return back to double-digit growth at least in the next financial year? I'll talk about my other questions later. Thanks.
Okay, so we have highlighted even in the earnings call earlier and also today that there are two factors which has led to, you know, I would say the growth not being in the territory that we had been expecting. Actually, in the 9 months, including this quarter, our top line is absolutely flat. Correct. Now, the two reasons. One is, of course, there is a softening of FMCG demand, you know, particularly in the rural side, which I had referred to earlier in my remarks. And also the RTM, you know, issues which came out. You know, we tried to get the RTM done in a very quick span of time, which did not sort of work out. You know, it required a lot of changes, and as a result, as and when certain, issues came up, we needed to resolve that, and we consciously did that because this was an improvement effect. It was not something that was thrust upon us. It was something that the company spontaneously did because it meant that in the future the company would be much better ready to, you know, take on the growth momentum. So I would say that this is a temporary pain. Of course, I cannot make comments on how soon the market is going to recover, whether on the lighting side or for that matter the FMCG side. But I can say that the internal issues of RTM are by and large over, and we should see in the next one or two quarters that system working to its perfect efficiency. As for coming back to growth, we certainly will come back to growth in the fourth quarter. Now, it would not be obviously a double-digit kind of growth which you asked whether it is. But we would certainly look, you know, at if not double-digit, at least high single-digit, given, you know, the way the market is behaving at this point of time, and take on from there.
Makes sense, sir. Very helpful. And sir, on the flashlight side, I think you also mentioned in your opening remarks with respect to the the kind of erosion that you are seeing in the battery-operated flashlight. So, A, if you could just give us a color as to where the market stands today and what's your, what's the kind of contribution you have with respect to rechargeable flashlight and battery-operated flashlight?
So, you know, our estimate, there is no really syndicated data on this. Our estimate is that the market is about 1,200 crores, roughly, of which one-third is battery-operated and the two-thirds is rechargeable. Now, on the battery-operated, we already have factored in a 10% degrowth for the market. And we thought that we would also flow with that similar degrowth because, you know, consumer habits are changing, we can do very little on that. And we were quite confident that we would be able to make significant gains in the rechargeable segment, and we would by and large be, you know, certainly be able to offset the loss made by battery-operated flashlight. And because of the gains that we would make in the rechargeable side, the overall category would gain for us. Unfortunately, the battery-operated category has degrown far faster than what we had thought. In fact, the degrowth for the category in this year has been 20%, really double of what we had thought to be the rate of degrowth. As a result, the category stands flat for the moment, but you know that two-thirds of the market, the rechargeable one, there we are growing quite fast, and hopefully, you know, with everything, you know, all the moving parts that we had this year getting settled, next year we would certainly be able to, you know, overcompensate on the loss that we would continue to make on the battery-operated flashlights, and the whole category will grow.
Okay, sir. And just a final piece for me, just on the bookkeeping side, if you could just give us the revenue split for all the three verticals and the margins for this quarter. And also, I think if you could just mention what's the share of your premium alkaline battery now in your overall revenue, that would be great, sir. Thank you.
So alkaline currently is about 5% of the mix. And with regard to the category-wise breakup, YTD, we have batteries at 675 crores, flashlights at 133 crores, and lighting at 245 crores, making a total of 1,050 odd. And as I said, in this, the battery receded by 2.4%, flashlights by 3.6%, lighting grew by 9.4%. And the respective margins are like this: battery is going at around 16%, flashlight at 9%, lighting is still negative 2%.
Thank you, sir. That was all my questions, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sunil Bojwani, who's an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. In a recent interview to CNBC a couple of months ago, you had given guidance of doubling the revenues in 3 to 4 years. So do we stand by that? And also, what kind of triggers or strategies do we have to drive the growth? Which segment out of the three, according to you, will be focused and will be the driving the growth fastest?
Okay. So, obviously, we had not counted this year to be one where there would be very small growth. We had counted for this year also a higher level of growth, which hasn't happened due to reasons which we have already articulated, and it is known, and it is due to a conscious action taken by the company to improve itself. With regard to the growth over a 3 or 4 years horizon, obviously, we would still attempt to grow quite significantly from our current state. Whether it would be exactly 2x or 1.9x is somewhat, that is a directional guidance. I mean, it is not that a concrete hard number is being put at this stage. So we remain committed to that growth. We remain guided by that, that trajectory. Now, as we have said before, batteries would not give very high level of growth. Our best aspiration would be, it's a very matured, category. It is really the one that gives us the biggest amount of profitability, but it could at best grow in the high single digit. We expect a much higher level of growth from flashlights, primarily rechargeable flashlights sort of gaining stronger ground in the mix of battery-operated and rechargeable. And of course, we have very high growth aspirations for lighting. And as I said earlier, these three categories we will exploit to the hilt. However, post 1 year to 18 months, the company will obviously also take some other category onto the mix so that doubling the turnover target can be achieved.
Sir, just to follow up, on the lighting segment, there is a lot of competitive intensity, and your peers are also growing really fast, some of them, especially the unlisted ones. And also regarding the flashlight, do you see such a big addressable market, or is the underlying industry or the requirement so much that it will grow at such a level to compensate the lesser battery growth?
So let me first talk about the flashlight one. The flashlight one is inundated with unorganized players. We are, by and large, the only player, and we are the market leader. Only because of our own hesitancy in order to get into the rechargeable segment that we have sort of, done a bit of stepping back, which we are now trying to make good. So, we would see we are 50% of the battery-operated market. It will be our aspiration to come nearer that level also in the rechargeable. So the addressable market is 1,200 crores, and today we are, around 175 odd crores. So we feel that there is a lot of headroom for us to grow there. We have no really doubt about that. As far as the lighting part is concerned, the market is huge. It's vast. And there are many players. So, many players in a market has its pros, also has its cons. The pros is that the entry barrier is simple, which is proved statistically by so many players playing in the market and existing and surviving. The con is, of course, you know, like this has happened this year, that everybody passed on the manufacturing efficiencies to the market, did not retain anything. So all players are under compulsion to pass on the same benefit to the market. So we really think that, you know, this is a market which recognizes brands, even with two products, and, you know, Reliance plays a strong role. We feel that Everity, with its strong brand and its distribution strength, should be able to make a reasonable dent into the market. And this continues to remain a focused growth market for us.
Okay, noted, sir. And just a small suggestion, sir, if we could kind of release some presentation at least half yearly for the products and developments, that would be really helpful.
Okay, thank you. That's a very useful suggestion. We will, we have made a note of this.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for the questions.
Thank you. Thank you once again.
Thank you. Participants may press star and one to join the question queue. The next question is from the line of Khush Vosrani from InGrid Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, if you could highlight what was the A&P spend for this quarter, the percentage of sales, and for the full year, what it would be for this year and for next 2 years, how are you planning to increase the A&P spends?
So, this quarter, it was actually, the, as you know, the revenue was subdued, so it is around 12%. And compared to last quarter, last year, the same quarter was 8%. And a YTD basis, 6 months, 9 months. So YTD basis is at 10% compared to the last year of 6%. So as we say that we stay committed to our A&P investment. And despite, you know, a moderated revenue, we continue to our effort to ensure that the brand recall and the introduction of the new categories are on top priority. So we stay committed and we are continuously investing with a proper focus on that, you know, right input and right communication goes to the market.
Sure. And, you know, bit near-term question from my side is, are you seeing any signs post even your RTM changes of market recovery? Of course, the degrowth, as you have, as sir has highlighted in previous questions, is that, you know, the degrowth has been much higher than expectations. But in the near term, are you seeing some signs of recovery, or is this still challenging for the customer and for you as well?
So as Shoma has already said that, you know, we are looking for in a immediate quarter four some sort of bounce back, while the, it is a matter of another 1 or 2 quarters. But the good part is that we have identified the problem and a lot of work has started on that, because it's a massive exercise which you try to do in a quarter, actually it didn't take 2 to 3 quarters. So in a short term, we may see some recovery, but the full consolidation and settlement will take at least the next 1 to 2 quarters, I can say.
Just two questions from our side, very quick. One is, before the RTM changes, how many distributors we had at Super Stockist and what are they now? And my last question would be, rural versus urban mix for us.
Pardon? Can you repeat the second question?
So, if you could quantify how much would be coming for your sales, would be coming from tier 2, tier 3 cities and below, and from metro cities, do you do such classification? If
so, prior to the RTM, we had about 4,000 plus distributors, which is now down to a little over 1,000. With regard to this, the split of turnover between metro versus smaller towns, and I would say that we are uniformly spread. So, you know, normally people ask us rural-urban split, we say it is 50-50. With regard to tier 1, tier 2 and metro, I cannot often give you an answer, because, you know, it depends on what definition that you give for tier 1, tier 2, how many metros do you. But I would say that we are uniformly spread.
Got it, sir. Thank you.
The point that I want to highlight is there is no specific sector bias in our sales.
Got it. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vikas Srivastav from RBC Financial. Please go ahead.
Yes, good evening. I apologize. I have joined late, so this question may have been asked earlier. I wanted to know what the status of the arbitration was. Is the hearing over and do we have that arbitration award? That was my first question.
So the arbitration hearing currently stands adjourned. So that is at the request of the claimant that they have sought adjournment. Hearings were supposed to have commenced from this week, which has been now put on hold. So we really would like to hear from the claimants, I mean the person who has sort of made the case, and take it there from. At this point, it is suspended.
At this point, sorry, will you repeat that, Mr. Saha?
It is adjourned at this point of time.
And we don't know what the next date of adjournment is. Are we engaged in some kind of settlement talks with the claimant? Where are we on this? Because if you remember, in about 1 year back, you had said that we expect closure by early, by early 24.
There is a development. The reason for their seeking adjournment is that, as you know, the original borrowing from the erstwhile promoters holding companies was from KKR. Now that was taken over by Incred, and now it has been taken over by another NBFC company. I don't exactly remember the name, and because that development has happened in the immediate past, that the claimant has sought adjournment. So, we need to see, how it goes. We are at this point of time really in some kind of, suspended animation, you can say.
And therefore, we are still, the restriction of the High Court of raising any fresh capital remains on us.
That's right. That is really effectively the only restriction that is on us. True. Otherwise, business is carrying on in the normal course.
No. My second question, and I'm sorry if I'm asking this question again, was on the RTM. Can we comfortably say, I know RTM and it is a dynamic process, but we have started with Bain Capital, we have started the procedure and then it got delayed. The entire RTM infrastructure and systems in place. My question to you was that can we safely say as of 31st December, the initial bit of the route to market, infrastructure, systems, etc., which we were hoping that it would be in place, say, by 30th June of 2023. Are we done or will it spill over into the next quarter also?
So, as far as putting up of the infrastructure and all the changes that were necessary to be done with this new RTM, got done in the early part of this financial year, much well before 30th June. What happened was, we tried to do it in a very short span of time. And it meant a lot of changes in the channel partners. That led to, some disruptions with regard to the partners selected not being up to the mark, or us leaving some areas a little vacant. So these are the disruptions, which took time for us to sort of grapple with, which we have by and large identified, and by 31st December, the question that you asked, the infrastructure was already in place and continues to be in place. Only those gap areas have been addressed and they continue to be addressed, but most of it is over. So, in terms of, can I say that is it 100% perfect? No, not yet. It will take us some more time, and as Vivek also said in his response just a couple of minutes back, it will take one or two more quarters to be fully, I would say 100% effective, but we are already almost there, and you would see a bounce back from the fourth quarter.
Very well. So what you are saying is that while we are not all there, but we are substantially there, and the benefit in terms of the sales, distribution and sales should be visible from quarter from the fourth quarter onwards.
Yeah, with baby steps. I must give that caveat. But you got it. I said with baby steps, but we are.
Yes.
You got it. You got the spirit of the thing.
Yeah, we are almost there, and you're saying that by, hopefully by June, the March or June quarter will be all there. As far as the softer part of this RTM changes, et cetera, the infrastructure and the hardware and the people and the appointments were there.
Yes.
But the disruptions and the channel partners breaking into the system, et cetera, things should be all settled. Can I comfortably say that things should be all settled by 31st March, or do you expect that to extend beyond 31st March also?
Maybe a little spillover to the first quarter of next financial year.
Yeah, but pretty much you're feeling good about what you have today in terms of RTM structure, and you are looking positively in terms of it giving necessary results from the first quarter, the fourth quarter of this financial year.
Yeah, I would say so.
All right. All right. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhruv Kashyap, who's an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening, Mr. Saha. This is the first investor call that I'm attending, although I've been an investor for some time. So pardon me or bear with me if I'm asking something that's been asked in the last few quarters, but it'll just be a healthy refresher for all of us. So it's a two-part question, and I'll try to structure it as sensibly as I can, where one part of the focus will be more here and now, and the second part will be sort of more crystal ball gazing or more sort of philosophical in its sort of spirit. So the way the business is structured currently, there is a battery business where we are the Hindustan Lever of batteries. We have more than 53% market share, and there is only that much headroom left. Then there is a flashlight business where you are right that there's a changeover happening from battery-operated to rechargeable. However, to the layman, there is always a bit of an existential question on this flashlight category, because there's always a tendency for other products to sort of take it over, like we've seen it in the past. And then there's a lighting business, which is quite cluttered. And hence my, I mean, so one is to understand from you that what are really the initiatives other than sort of juicing out efficiency and RTM and product launches, et cetera, that you've spoken about. And the second part of my question really is that outside of these three, at a philosophical level, are we seeing that there are some adjacent categories? Or, for example, at a philosophical level, EverReady is the battery of India and, or the battery maker of India, and hence, are there adjacencies in batteries itself? So, for example, I don't know, I mean, do we go to watch batteries, car batteries, phone batteries, or any other battery? So is it like more a horizontal extension or a vertical extension? Because, as someone who's used EverReady for, I don't know how many decades now, personally, and as someone who's been a marketer, I personally feel that EverReady has a unique situation where the share of mind is significantly more than the share of wallet. And that's always a great space to be in as a brand that you know, people think you are this huge monolith of a brand, but actually the revenues aren't that big. And that's where the opportunity lies, because people already see you as a big brand, but and there is a lot of space to juice it out more, both in its current three categories as well as extension to very naturally sensible ones. And also, I know it's a longish question, but I conclude by saying that, you know, I've been invested in a company for almost 8-10 years, which does something of a core business, and it sorts, and it has the same thing, that it's got a very good share of mind versus share of wallet. And it saw benefits in getting into appliances, which is its adjacencies. It's essentially a kitchen and a home brand company. And ever since it got into appliances, its appliances has now become 90% of its business, and core is only 10%. And the company's market value has gone from 700 crores close to 5,000 crores. So I'm just trying to understand from you that where will this next sort of exponential rocket come from?
Okay, that's a very, very involved question, I must say, and compliment you for the, you know, the in-depth understanding that you have done on this. So you are very right, you know, Eveready brand is larger than, you know, what we deliver in terms of our top line. You are very correct. And obviously that provides us with a guidance that, you know, we can do more. We can do more with the brand and we can also do more with the distribution. Now, what would be the shape of things to come is something I'll take on a little bit later. But prior to that, let me say that the battery, you know, as you rightly said, it's matured. There is very little headroom or headspace to go anywhere beyond the 53% or that, as you said, the Unilever-like stronghold on the market. Yet, you know, I think the market has, since you have done so much of, deep dive into the category, as you know, the device penetration in the country is of a very low order. So there is a huge potential for the category to grow as and when devices proliferate, you know, with, let us say, rising income levels of, so even if we retain that 53% market share, if devices were to go up, like it did at one time, you know, we saw spark when the medical devices proliferated during the COVID time or when the remote controls came, you know, with every appliance in the households. So, you know, if tomorrow the country was to go over to electronic locks and, you know, sensors and stuff like that, there could be a big jump, you know, but that is as and when it comes. The category currently is in a position to deliver a high single-digit growth, which would come out of premiumization and on which the company is really focusing and working over the last, I would say, 12 odd months. We have revamped our premium segment and we have, you know, started communicating quite a lot on that. And so, you know, we feel if other things remain constant, we should be able to deliver a high single-digit kind of growth. That is as far as battery is concerned. Flashlight, I beg to differ with you on the category potential. That category is growing. You know, the battery-operated one is, of course, degrowing, but the rechargeable one, you know, people used to ask, because you seem to have a lot of knowledge of these categories. I mean, I think I appreciate you for that. Earlier this, people used to ask us that what would happen when the country, the villages, they get electrified. And what would happen to them? We would be at pains to explain to people that, listen, this is not for indoor lighting, it is for outdoor lighting that people use flashlights. And then electrification happened and then it really spurred usership, you know, household keeping of flashlights increased because, you know, people have by this time discovered a charging point. So they charge the mobile phone, whatever it is, a smartphone or a feature phone, they also like to then charge the flashlight. So in a rural side, you know, where most of our flashlight usage is, there is no replacement for flashlight. It is only, we see growth in demand. Our problem is we are quite heavily over-indexed on the battery-operated one. So as we, and that again emanated from the company's hesitancy to go into rechargeable because it felt that, you know, if we ourselves go, then what would happen to the battery-operated flashlights? But that is what the consumer prefers. So, you know, we have no choice. As we straddle this particular segment, we see potential for high level of growth. I mean, I certainly would think that, you know, we can easily look at a mid-teen kind of growth in this segment. With lighting, it's a cluttered market. People are very correct in observing that it is a highly competitive market, but it also provides very low entry barrier with a brand like Eveready and a distribution like ours. We are good to go. And it continues to be a focus area for growth for us. Now, coming to the crystal ball gazing, you are very right. We need to, sweat the brand a bit more. We need to sweat the distribution system a bit more. Exactly what would be that category, I am unable to say. You know, we have lots to do over the next 12 to 18 months, and we will keep focusing on our existing businesses. But parallelly, we'll start working in trying to discover what could the adjacent categories be. So that is where we are. I'm sorry that I'm not being able to give you a hard-coded answer with regard to the, the future category at this point of time.
So that's perfectly fine, sir. I mean, thanks for that. It's a very exhaustive, comprehensive, and a very useful insight that you provided. I just wanted to understand more the philosophy in terms of, as you said, that EverReady is an inherently sweatable asset where it could sweat a lot more than right now by the sheer fact that its share of mind is much, much more than its share of wallet. But I was just trying to understand that one way to sort of build adjacencies is to say that, listen, we are the Hindustan Lever of batteries, and hence we'll do everything batteries. The other way to do it is that there are adjacencies, and I can think of thousands of successful examples of both. So I think, I mean, it's really for the team now to start working because unless you give your mind to it now, anyways, it's going to take 1 or 2, 3 years of sort of execution to get it sort of delivered. So it's more just for food for thought more than anything else. And lastly, before I sign off, sir, I'll share an experience with you because of what you raised. I don't know if you find it helpful. You mentioned in EverReady that, there is an under-penetration of gadgets or devices. You know, for the longest time, I headed ice creams for Unilever, which also depended on refrigeration penetration or freezer penetration. And we found multiple creative ways around it. So that was how in-home ice cream is consumed. But, you build a case for out-of-home consumption where you don't need a refrigerator. Then you did home delivery. You tied up with Domino's. You know, like Coke is delivered. Coke has a line for Domino's. We did ice creams for Domino's. So I'm saying there are thousands of ways to come around this gadget issue. I mean, I sold a category which needs to be at minus 25 degrees to be sold. But there are innovative ways around it where you can't wait for Whirlpool to keep selling more refrigerators. So I'm sure I'm just giving you food for thought, sir. You are an expert of this category. I'm just sharing my experiences to just understand where your mindset is at.
Thank you very much. It has been very insightful. You have given us a lot of food for thought, and we appreciate that. Thank you very much for taking the time out and giving your insights to us. Thank you. We'll work on this.
Thanks for taking my questions, and all the very best for the future, Mr. Chawla.
Thank you. Thank you once again.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vipul Shah, who's an individual investor. Please go ahead. Mr. Shah, your line is unmuted. You can please ask your question. As there is no response from the line of the current participant, we'll move on to the next question. The next question is from the line of Mithun Aswath from Kiva Advisors. Please go ahead.
Just a follow-up. I just wanted to know what is the breakup of your current flashlights business? How much is it battery, and how much is it rechargeable?
So in terms of value, the 70% would be battery-operated, and the balance will be rechargeable.
Okay. And the rechargeable has grown at what pace in the current year?
It is really growing at a very healthy pace, over 50% type of thing, where on the other side, the battery flashlight-operated has another 20% degrowth happening.
Okay. Okay. Thank you so much.
Cheers.
Thank you. The next follow-up question is from the line of Vikas Srivastava from RBC Financial. Please go ahead.
Mr. Saha, I'm back to the size of the market in terms of batteries and growth. Now, I do hear that we are waiting for some event. Now, in a growing economy, the middle class growing, why is it not that there is a good linear growth of battery, which should be normally the case? Is our hypothesis going wrong? Are the new remotes, etc., also of the rechargeable kind? Is the battery life more? Is the technology higher? If you remember, you know, a few quarters back, we discussed and we were feeling very sanguine about the potential of growth of the battery segment as a whole. Let me for a minute assume that our share in the battery market remains what it is. What in your view is going wrong on the growth which should normally be linked to the way, you know, per capita income and the growth of the middle class in India?
So, you know, as we discussed little earlier also, we are holding on to the market share of 53%. As the previous, you know, speaker said, you know, we are the Unilever of the battery market. We straddle every, you know, area of the battery market, and there is nothing that we keep unfulfilled. The thing is that the problem that, and there is nothing that we have done wrong. So I would like to correct that.
No, no, I completely agree with you. My question is, you being an industry person, why isn't the size of the market growing as it is expected to grow? But I'm just asking you. See, as an investor today, I want Everready to check all the points and do right, and I also want to understand what in your view is the market, why is it not growing the way it should grow, is the question I'm asking you. If the market grows 10, 15, 20% per year, my being stable at 53 is good enough. It's brilliant.
Please now hear me out. So the thing is that the battery market traditionally has had always grown at low single digit. It is not that it has been ever growing at 15% or thereabouts. The reason why the growth rate is low is because unlike other countries, the per capita consumption of batteries in our country is very low, which stands at about 2 per person. Whereas in other countries, even let us say not the most developed country, China has a per capita consumption of 10, and America has a per capita consumption of 36, Japan has 27. So the reason is that battery, there is nothing which requires battery on its own. Battery only is used and consumed when there is a device. The device penetration in our country is of a very low order. Like, for example, remote control. Remote control consumes 40% of our batteries. Whereas in the U.S., remote controls where, you know, every household has more number of remotes, but they only consume 3% batteries. So it is because of the low penetration of devices in Indian households that battery has really not seen that level of growth, as you very rightly said, with growing income, the country should have seen. So that is where it stands. You know, we have the potential to grow the market. I'm not talking of ourselves. The market has the potential to grow. A small example like toys. You know, the penetration of toys in Indian households is far smaller than, you know, what it is in many other countries, in a country like Indonesia, which is similar. You know, income levels are not that greatly higher, or China. So, you know, whereas Indians have taken on to phones, smartphones, feature phones, people have taken on famously. So that is some of the quirks of the market. We need to sort of remain with that. The thing that we need to do is to ensure that we remain with the market growth, because at 53%, it is very difficult to grow faster than the market. I mean, this is something that. Yeah.
No, I was never raising a question on the size of the market or our market share. I was just wondering, why is it not growing? Why is the market, it's still single digit? Because, you know, that was what I was just thinking, if you have a take or a concern in your mind as to why the market is not growing. I was more on the macro, this thing of the market as to why it is not growing fast enough, which we were expecting it to, or, and we do expect the gap between two battery per capita and 10 to fill up at some point of time.
Appreciate that. Appreciate.
My second question was that, you know, do you foresee the battery flashlights completely being, you know, becoming non-material in the next 3, 4 years? That was one question. B, or I'm not asking you for this quarter or next quarter, but how much in terms of, and for a minute, let's forget all the new products you'll add that, you know, later, or they're in the pipeline. My question to you was on the lighting segment, what kind of CAGR internally are we talking of growing over the next 3 years, and what kind of annual growth are we expecting in volumes in the flat, or what are we targeting in the chargeable flashlight segment?
So, you know, the first question, whether battery-operated flashlights will become zero, I would say it will never become zero, but it will become a very small part of the market. There is no market.
Okay.
The rechargeable one will continue to grow because, you know, people have really sort of taken on to it famously. You know, with the houses getting electrified, people are sort of, you know, using it because they can then do all their outdoor stuff without having to change batteries now and then. So we have an aspiration for the whole category. You know, I am not now any longer looking at battery operated and rechargeable. We need to grow that because there is growth in the market. We are looking at, and you know, as I said somewhere earlier, we have 50% leadership in the battery operated one. We do not see what stops us from becoming a 50% in the overall market. Also given the fact that we are the only organized player. The rest are all unorganized, local, you know, somebody is doing something in Calcutta, somebody is doing in Mumbai, like that, you know, UP. So we see a good potential for us to grow double digit, you know, I would say somewhere closer to mid-teens in the longer term. With regard to lighting, you know, we started off with an aspiration of growing beyond 25%, frankly. I mean, even this year we have taken a target, but the market, the value erosion was so acute, you know, again, reflecting the competitive nature of the market. So we did higher volumes, but we ended up doing only 10% in value growth. The market is in the negative territory. So, you know, people say, people who are experts in the market, I have spoken to, you know, other lighting industry leaders, they feel that this value erosion should sort of get arrested, and then, you know, the normal growth of 10% in the lighting market is something which is quite normal. We being a small player, our growth of rate should be higher. It is difficult for us to today predict what would be the exact percentage because, you know, particularly coming of this very high value erosion year. So I do not know whether I have been able to answer your question.
No, I think my takeaway is what you're telling me is that your aspiration is to grow at about 15% on the flashlight consolidated between chargeable and rechargeable. And yeah. while your aspiration initially in the lighting was 25% because of your low base and growth, would you like to put a range or figure? What would be your revised aspiration for the next 3 years on the on the flashlights?
So
on the lighting.
On the lighting. So, you know, we are.
I'm not asking you immediate. You know, there'll be small.
I understand your query. So, you know, we being a small player, you know, we started with very basic products. You know, bulbs, lamps, etc. As we are trying to improve ourselves, you know, this year we would exceed 300 crores in turnover. We are going from bulbs, battens to luminaires, to downlighters, panels, etc. Emergency lamp, which is part of our premium portfolio. With that, you know, we feel our value growth should be far higher than 10%. As we are recording, even if I say that the market is not going to improve any time soon. So with our progress, our journey from basic products to more evolved products, and we have the portfolio today, it is our, you know, as we become more experienced in the market, we will keep straddling it and go towards the higher value chain, and that should give us, I would say, a growth which is going to be higher certainly than the 10% that we logged in this year.
Got it. But would you, when you say, what are you talking about, mid-teens, high teens, what are we talking
about? I would say certainly, you know, higher than
mid-teens. What are you aspiring for over the next 3 years is my question.
So I
didn't ask you for a quarterly.
That we aspired for a 25% growth, but that went a little bit out of the window. We would certainly like to, you know, grow beyond 15 to 20 or thereabouts, you know, depending on the market condition. Because
very
the valuation that was there in the market may disappear tomorrow, and then it will give us grounds to grow higher.
Very well. Got it. Thank you so much. Thank you for taking all my questions.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Sunil Bojwani, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the follow-up, sir. Sir, I just wanted to know that if we supply to any kind of institutions or defense services or forces, defense forces, state or central, you know, there are so many industries, mining or like the army, that would require flashlights or maybe even for the lighting segment for street lights or stations, airports, or have you looked into that?
Okay, so, you know, we do supply to institutions like the ones that you mentioned, but there is scope for improvement there. This is one of our focus areas at this point of time. Thanks for once again reminding me of that.
Okay, so is that a considerable portion of the revenues? If you could give a color into...
At this point, it is not very significant, but it is there, but we need to grow from our current levels.
Okay. And sir, also in the recent past, we had discontinued some smaller appliances. And we had mentioned in the previous calls that we might look into launching some smaller appliances in future again, so as to leverage our brand, like the other participants said. So, are we looking into that in the near future? Or
so we have exited the appliance category. You know what is happening is, you know, you call them appliance or you call them adjacent products, which go into the lighting shops. It is only that, you know, like say for example a spike buster or a multi-point plug and stuff like that. So things of that nature which is necessary to complete the range. But we have exited the appliance category also.
Okay, so in the near future also we would not be getting into it or any adjacent products like this. Maybe after a year or two.
As I said, the adjacent products should be taken only to serve the needs of the retailer to complete the range, nothing else.
Okay. For now, we don't have any plans of...
No plans.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That would be...
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vipul Shah, who's an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Can you hear me, sir?
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you for this opportunity. Sir, I have a question only in terms of our lighting business. Is what is the target market for us for the lighting business, sir? Is it metro or is it non-metro?
As I mentioned earlier in the call, we are pan-India. We try to focus on metros. We try to focus on smaller towns. We obviously also focus on the rural side, you know, up to a 20,000 population village or town. So there is no specific bias.
Got it. But, you know... You know, I come actually from a metro city, and in the city, whether it is you know, a lighting product or whether it is an alkaline product, suffice to say that, you know, a lot of times or most of the times we don't see the Everready brand, although we are patient shareholders, but the products are not visible on the shelves, sir. So that was the reason why, you know, I had a question on that.
No, I'll answer that question. See, we are a small player in lighting. For us to be available in metro, you know, it takes time. We are a very, very small player. Our market share is currently 2%. So you would only find us in 2% perhaps, you know, if we take that logic. As far as the batteries are concerned, I am surprised. I mean, if you put offline, you can tell us, you know, where you did not find Everready, because, you know, we are 53% of the market. it is inconceivable that you would not find our presence in the metro areas. Lighting, I understand, because we have a lot of work to do.
Fair enough, sir. I will take this offline, but for sure, you know, you can take it from me that any store you go in Bombay, the prime alkaline product is the biggest competitor. And
nothing wrong in what you say, and I take your point. But you know, our entry, as I do not know whether you heard my opening remarks, we have just now launched our own alkaline, you know, in a revamped shape, which is Eveready Ultima. We have done a decent amount of communication, and we have taken, placement drives, which have been so far very satisfactory. We started that from September, and I am surprised. I don't know which metro you live, maybe.
Yeah, I stayed at Bombay, sir. And frankly, sir, you know, since... Yeah.
So, which part of Bombay? Just out of curiosity.
Sir, you know, in top of Bombay city, South Bombay, and, you know, to whatever offline small mom and pop stores, we go.
So, you know, as far as
It is very difficult to find the Eveready alkaline product. So to my mind, there is a big growth which is there, and, you know, it's a potentially a great growth driver. It could be, but sadly, you know, we can't find Eveready alkaline anywhere on the shelf. So that was the reason why, sir, the question as to, you know, where the focus is.
I understand your question. I understand your question and your concern. As I said, that, you know, this has been launched from September, and so far the progress has been very good. Like, I myself, and it's part of my job to make sure, go visit market and see, you know, what is available or not available. This Bombay experience, if you have seen in the recent past, is a surprise to me. I'll check this out and do, if you have the time, do let us know which exact part you did not, because, you know, there can always be a gap which needs to be rectified. I am for sure, I know that you would have found our red battery, but alkaline placements, which started from September, should also have been in the area where you went to. If you have not found, I'll have to then accept that there is a gap and that we need to fill up.
Thank you so much, sir, for your response.
I'll certainly touch base with my Bombay team.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ketan, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, this is Ketan here. Thank you for giving me an opportunity. I just wanted to ask that we see a lot of torch lights and other equipments which are now available in solar rechargeable things. So does the company have any, see any impact from such kind of devices which are available in the market? And what is their view on this segment? And whether the company also has any plan to go into such kind of segment?
So the company used to have solar powered lanterns, not flashlights, but we found that the market was inundated with, you know, very low quality and low priced. We did not feel at that time that there is sufficient traction of the product with the consumers. In the event we have the technology, in the event we feel the market is amenable to that, we will do that. But at this point of time, these are basically absolute unorganized players who play in the market.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Okay. Thank you everyone for taking out the time to join us on this earnings conference call today. I hope we have adequately answered all your questions. If you still have more queries, please reach out to our investor relations team and we'll be only too happy to address them. We endeavor to interact with you all every quarter through this forum. Thank you once again and look forward to connecting with you again in the next quarter. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Eveready Industries India Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.